We're very thankful to have you here listening to us on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. And again, we'd love to hear from you. Email us, contact us on our website, gospel-of-grace.com, and let us know that you are listening. And certainly if you have any questions or other feedback, we'd love to contact you in that way. Let's turn together to Matthew chapter 22, and we'll start reading here in verse 34. We've been considering for some time period now about the agape love of Christ, God's amazing agape love that He expressed toward us as He sent His only begotten Son into this world to sacrifice and to die for our sins. And then the responsibility and the compulsion and the compelling that then that places upon us to love others in a fervent way. And we'll find here the two greatest commandments that summarize that entire admonition is simply to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then the second is a natural extension of that, to love thy neighbor as thyself. So Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 34, this is really everything that we've been building on, everything we've been building towards in these messages on agape love is summarized right here in these two commandments. And that's to love God with everything you've got and to love others as an expression of God's love in this world. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 34. And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, the Sadducees had just finished attempting to stump Jesus on the resurrection. Remember, the Sadducees don't even believe in a resurrection, but they asked him, if this woman married seven men, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? And it says here that he put the Sadducees to silence. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were essentially the Republicans and the Democrats, the conflicting rival parties in the Jewish religion. So now that the Sadducees had been somewhat embarrassed by Jesus, now the Pharisees, they want to take the mantle up and use this opportunity and kill two birds with one stone to, first of all, attempt to tempt Jesus, and then if they can also embarrass the Sadducees at the same time that had just got put to silence, then that's just a bonus. And that's what they attempt to do here. So they have probably their most prominent lawyer, one of the Pharisees, stand up and ask Jesus a question, tempting him, and says, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now think back over all the Old Testament, and yes, we have the Ten Commandments, but then we have just boo-koodles of just hundreds of commandments that are given to the Jews in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, and Exodus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and there's just so much minutia in the law, and they're trying to in some way have Jesus highlight one part of the law to where they can accuse him of not following or not acknowledging another part of the law. And Jesus gives us this beautiful New Testament summary of what God meant when he inspired all this. When he inspired the canon of Scripture and he inspired the law and gave it to Israel, what was his intent? His intent can be summarized in these two things, in these two commandments. So, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Essentially, Jesus is saying all the law can be summed up in these two things. Jesus said unto him in verse 37, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So first of all, what is the greatest commandment? Bar none. Jesus clarifies this. The first and the greatest commandment is to simply love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, there is nothing that is more simple, but at the same time, there is nothing that is more complex in the life of the child of God to love God as fervently as we ought. Again, think about what God has done for us. He has implanted, we don't just drum up love. We don't choose to love God. We love Him because He first loved us. And the only reason we have the capacity for agape love to love God in our life is because God implanted that nature in us when we were born again, because agape love is a fruit of the Spirit. So, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You have to love God with every single thing that you have. Remember, we are legally His. We are bought and paid for. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that you are not your own. You're bought with a price. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, you don't have the option and you don't have the right to do as you please anymore. But furthermore, you don't want to do as you please anymore. God has changed that nature. God's changed that nature that only wants to fulfill our own flesh and lust. Instead, He's put a nature within you that has the capacity for agape love. And we spent a good bit of time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 seeing what agape love looks like. It suffers long and it doesn't puff itself up. It doesn't vaunt itself. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It never fails. All of these capacities of agape love, God has placed that within you. But how is that maximized? How is that exhibited in our life? It's amazing that this right here is really the chief problem of every single sin that we have here in this world. Think about this. If we just love God more perfectly, if we love God in every capacity, in the manner that we ought. Now understand, that's a bar that we will never meet because we are sinful humans and we can't love God with everything within us all the time. We want to, but it's just not possible. But that doesn't mean that we don't strive toward the mark. Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, he pressed toward the mark. He's pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, and we press toward the mark of loving God with every single fiber of our being, with the understanding that we're going to fail. We're not going to meet that standard as we ought here in this world. But however, that is not an excuse to be complacent. But that is also not an excuse to not strive toward that. But I want you to notice how this is the first and the greatest commandment, but this one commandment takes care of everything else. If you're having a problem with your spouse, not loving your wife as you ought, or vice versa, well, the first thing you need to understand is God's love for you, God's standard of sacrifice that He made on behalf of His bride. And if you love God as you ought, then you will be compelled to love your bride as Christ loved the church. If you're having a problem with a coworker, then what you need to do is not just grit your teeth and ignore the situation or have some passive-aggressive gossiping with someone else and make the situation worse. There's tons of ways we can make those type of situations so much worse. What's the best way to remedy that? It's really to just go love God more. We're told explicitly in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 that perfect love casts out fear. So if you're afraid, how do you remedy that? Love God more perfectly. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all your mind. Any relational problem you have, that is really a symptom. It is a symptom that you're not loving God as you ought. Because the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Relational difficulties with anyone, a husband, a wife, a child, a parent, a coworker, anyone. The way that you remedy that relational problem is really by remedying your relationship with the Lord, because the second is a natural extension of a proper obedience to the first commandment. Think about what we talked about in 1 John, particularly in chapter 4, that God's vertical love is expressed in a horizontal way through our actions. God loves us vertically, and we are commanded to love God vertically. But I want you to notice how this love, this vertical love of God, is expressed in a horizontal way by loving our neighbor as ourself. So if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, what's the real problem? It's not that you just have a bad attitude about that neighbor. Most likely, the real remedy for that, the real cause of that effect or that symptom of you having interpersonal conflict, of you not loving somebody like you ought, is most likely that you're not loving God like you ought to. And it's amazing how if I just got up every single day and I got up with the intended focus of loving God more fervently with every fiber of my being today than I did yesterday, then all of these small, minor things are going to take care of themselves. They're going to be dissipated if I just focus on following the greatest commandment. It's amazing how synergistic this is. If you're having a problem with your neighbor, your problem's not really with your neighbor. Your problem is most likely that you're not loving God like you ought to. Notice this in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 3. Not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And that word shed abroad literally means to pour out, to gush out. So if we love God as we ought to, if the love of God is just gushing out of our heart because we love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and all of our mind, think about, again, your heart overflowing, your heart gushing out with love for Christ, You see, what's it going to gush out on? It's going to gush out on the people around you. That love of God that wells up within you is going to gush out by you loving your neighbor as yourself, that by you loving those around you. You see, the second commandment is an extension of the first. You don't have to get up and grit your teeth and say, oh man, I got to love these rascals today. I got to get up and go to work and deal with people that are unreasonable. And man, I just really don't want to love my neighbor today. No, you just need to get up and say, look, I'm going to love God with all my heart and with all my soul and all my mind. I'm going to love God with every single thing I've got. And with that being the case, loving my neighbor is going to take care of itself. That's what I want us to understand. You don't have to get up and make a conscious choice to say, man, I got to love my neighbor today. No, go love God with everything that you got. Go love God fervently with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all your mind. And loving your neighbor as yourself, it's going to take care of itself. Because the second commandment here is a natural extension of the first and the greatest commandment. So I would dare say every single problem of sin that we have in our life can be remedied by focused obedience to this one commandment. And that's simply go love God more. Go love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and all your mind. And how are you going to love God more? Think about His love towards you, right? Think about the amazing love that here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. For God so loved the world to such a radical, incomprehensible degree that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for our sins. You see, if we meditate upon the love of God and what He's done for us, that should well up our love toward God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And then what's that going to do? It's going to be manifest in our external actions. It's going to be manifest in loving our neighbor as ourself in a selfless way. Remember, the willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without the thought of return. Think about the Good Samaritan. He talks about his neighbor. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And there were some people that were trying to restrict that, and they only wanted to show love to those that showed love to them. And they asked him in Luke's gospel, who's my neighbor? And Jesus gives them the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, that parable of the Good Samaritan, he made a sacrifice in interrupting his busy schedule to place someone else's needs above his own, to manifest love toward his neighbor. But I want you to notice, he did not do it with an expectation of getting anything in return. On the contrary, he actually said, once he left, hey, if there's any other charges that this man racks up while I'm gone, I'll pay it my next time through. He had a continuing commitment. Not just an initial commitment, but he had a continuing commitment of sacrifice in loving his neighbor as himself. Now, why did that man do that? Why did that Samaritan do that? He did not do it because that Jew liked him. I would dare say that if the roles were reversed and they knew that was a Samaritan down in the ditch, the man that was in that ditch, if the roles were totally reversed, he probably wouldn't have helped that Samaritan because of the ethnic and racial bias that was so prevalent in first century Judea between the true Jews, so to say, and the Samaritans. So, this man wasn't doing good to people that would do good to him. He is doing good to that man that was in need as an expression of God's love toward him and the expression of his love toward God by loving someone else. Remember, in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus is separated the sheep from the goats at the end of time, he describes the actions of the sheep, and then he says, in so as much as you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. So if you say that you love God, how can you manifest that you truly love God? By doing acts of sacrificial agape love to those who stand in need, especially unto those that are of the household of faith. Because you cannot show physical love and physical sacrifice to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, here in this world, because He's not here in this world. He's on the right hand of God the Father. But what can you do? You can go love your neighbor as yourself. How can you authenticate, how can you validate you loving God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all your mind? By you going and loving your neighbor as yourself. And that's why he says, I know we've already considered this in 1 John chapter 3, but it bears repeating. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Based on the sacrifice of love that God has had toward us, we have a compelling responsibility to love our neighbor as ourself. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Your words don't mean anything unless they're backed up by actions. We've been saying that throughout this whole sermon series. Love is a noun. Agape love is a noun. But agapeo is the verb version of agape love. And we are not commanded to just have a existential, doctrinal knowledge of the love that God has had toward us. No, we are commanded to put that knowledge in action. We are commanded to live out agape love in verb form in our life. And how do we do that? By loving your neighbor as yourself. And really, let's tie this back in of what Matthew is saying and then what John is saying. John is saying, how can you say that you really are obeying the first commandment if you're not obeying the second? In other words, if you look at someone who stands in need and you choose to not love your neighbor as yourself as an external expression of your love toward God, how can you, if you forsake obedience to the second commandment that is supposed to be an extension of the first commandment, how can you then claim that you're in obedience to the first commandment and that you love God? Do you see that? Do you see how the second commandment is a natural expression of obedience to the first commandment and the greatest commandment to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind? Notice this language in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 20. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Unfeigned, that means sincere, not hypocrisy, not hypocritical of showing good to someone that might be able to benefit you in your career or personally or financially, and that's the person I'm going to show favor to, and that's the person I might show a little bit of self-sacrifice for. No, that's doing actions with the thought of return. That's the opposite of agape love, right? So he's saying not unfeigned love, not hypocritical, insincere love, but instead unfeigned love, and love one another with a pure heart fervently. How do we exhibit us loving God with a pure heart fervently? It's by loving others with a pure heart fervently. It's by exhibiting in our life a disposition towards self-sacrifice for the benefit of someone else, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Again, but I want us to take away from this message, and really, this is the sole summary of everything that we've been considering about agape love. And that is, based on God's love towards you, based on the self-sacrifice that He has made toward us, we are compelled to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and all of our mind. And then the natural expression and manifestation of that in our life is to love your neighbor as yourself. The natural outpouring, the natural gushing out of the love of God in our heart is loving our neighbor as ourself. Because remember, in so as much as you've done the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. If you have shown this agape, self-sacrificial love to the least of God's children, that is the closest that you can come to loving God here in this world in a personal, physical way. But loving our neighbor is not the focus. Loving our neighbor is a natural expression of obedience to the first and the greatest commandment. And what I want us to really take away from this and really understand to the best of our ability is that really every single problem in our life is remedied by obedience to the first and the greatest commandment. There is not a single problem, and I'm not going to list all of them off today, but you can just insert any problem that you have. I cannot think of a single problem that you have in your life that will not be remedied and made better with you getting up and not trying to solve that problem, but by you simply going with a commitment to love the Lord with a pure heart fervently, to love the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul and all your mind, to get up and say, Lord, allow me in a manner better today than I did yesterday to love you with every fiber of my being, and to focus on that and say, Lord, man, look what you've done for me. Look that you saved me by grace. You've saved me from my sins. You've given me all these providential blessings here in time. Lord, you've done so much for me, but I love you, Lord. I love you. And Lord, please just allow me to love you more fervently, with a pure heart fervently. Bless me to love you with every fiber of my being. And I will guarantee you that if you focus on that, if you focused on the first and the greatest commandment, everything else will fall in line. Everything else will take care of itself, because every other act of obedience, especially loving your neighbor as yourself, but every single other act of obedience is a natural expression and outpouring of the proper obedience to the first and the greatest commandment. So I want to tell you, child of God, if you want something to wake up tomorrow and do and focus on, get up and say, Lord, bless me to love you with everything I got, with all of my heart and with all of my soul and all of my mind. But don't forget what we've been considering. That's not an abstract thought. That is not an abstract concept. The way that you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind is loving your neighbor as yourself. The way that you love God with every fiber of your being is by exhibiting the attributes of agape love that we saw in 1 Corinthians 13. The way that you love God with all of your heart is suffering long, is being kind, is envying not, is vaunting and puffing not yourself up, is not behaving yourself unseemly, seeking not your own, not being easily provoked, not thinking evil, rejoicing not in iniquity, rejoicing in truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things, and never failing. You see, these are verbs. These are things that are action verbs of things that we do. So the love of God is not just some romantic butterfly feeling down in your heart. No, the way that you love God with all of your heart and all your soul and all your mind is by going and loving other people. It's by suffering long. It's by placing other people's needs above your own. The willing, sacrificial, giving of oneself for the benefit of another without the thought of return. If you love God more fervently, you will have a desire to do those things, but we manifest and authenticate that love toward God by loving others around us in an agape, self-sacrificial way. We hope these messages on agape love have been profitable for you. If they have been, give God the glory for that. And until we have a chance to be with you again, we pray the Lord will richly bless you. And go love God with all your heart, soul, and mind today. And go love your neighbor as yourself. Go do good to somebody who can't do good back to you. Go be the hands and the feet of Christ. Go, church, and be a body that is obedient to its head and glorifying to its Savior. May God bless you.